Texas Business Minds, a presentation of the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. North Texas is now a magnet for major sporting events, thanks in large part to the efforts of the Dallas Sports Commission. In this download, DBJ reporter Alexa Reed welcomes one of the most influential sports executives in Texas.
What a time for sports fans in Dallas-Fort Worth. We've seen great success in major sporting bids for the region, and securing 9 2026 FIFA World Cup matches was the latest and highly anticipated feat we've seen to date. But who is the mastermind behind these bids? That title belongs to Dallas Sports Commission Executive Director Monica Paul. Whether it is a small local sporting event or a bigger fish in the pond like the World Cup, Paul spearheads securing sporting events in North Texas that have resulted in billions of dollars in economic impact. Paul is our guest on this episode of Texas Business Minds, where we will dive into her career, the impact she has had on Dallas-Fort Worth, and her playbook on how North Texas is positioned to host these events. Hi, Monica. How you doing?
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you for joining me. What is the secret to snagging such major sporting events in DFW? We see the World Cup coming here shortly in a couple years. So how do you position our region or a venue as a bid?
Well, I think there's numerous things, but it all starts with the people and our partners that we have here. We're very lucky in the facilities that we have, world-class. There's a lot of dedication from the owners, the cities themselves that the venues are located, the operating companies, to ensure that they're continuing to have renovations and always be state-of-the-art and have the most updated technology. And then you couple that with our central location, the transportation that we have here with both DFW International Airport, Love Field, the other FBOs and commuter airports that we have, the affordability to do business, quite honestly, here within Texas. The ability to get to any part of the other areas within the country or internationally. And then it really circles back to the hospitality, our Texas hospitality and the people, and really the spirit of we always want to be the best and be cutting edge. And how can we do an event better, not only for our clients, but also for our residents here within the DFW area?
Absolutely. And I think touching point on that transportation aspect too is we are the central of the United States, and that positions us in an area where we can have the ability to have people come from all over the world here. So it kind of makes sense on that front too. And also there's a million highways in DFW. Getting from Dallas to Fort Worth takes 30 minutes. So not only are you securing these events for DFW, but you're responsible for billions of dollars in economic impact for the region, creating jobs, increased revenue for businesses and more. Is this a driving factor in securing these events? And if not, or even an extension off of that, what else drives you for that too?
Well, definitely the incremental tax dollars, the economic impact, the number of jobs that are created here locally, or the estimates that we're able to assume going into a bid are very important to us. Obviously, we want to be able to operate an event in the black, and you know, we're not having to go out and secure sponsorship dollars and funding for every event that we host. But you know, there's everything from the coaching clinic to our cheerleading events to volleyball events, all the way up to NCAA Women's Final Four that we hosted last year, to NCAA Regionals next week, to CONCACAF Nations League, all the way to World Cup and Super Bowls, all have a benefit in terms of that incremental tax dollars and the overall economic impact. So it may go to the tax line, but then it also is ensuring that, you know, our restaurants, our hotels, the small business owners, transportation companies, you name it, benefit many times from events taking place here. And then that kind of is a continuous cycle for us.
Gotcha. And is there any surprise in any factor of economic impact that you've seen that you weren't necessarily expecting?
You know, I think one of the things that catches most people off guard a little bit when they see our numbers are, you know, we talk about the major events a lot, the World Cup, NCAA Men's or Women's Final Four, the Super Bowls, the Rugby World Cups, WrestleMania. higher media value, higher media attention. But then when we talk about some of the youth and grassroots events, the National Cheerleaders Association, both high school nationals and all-stars, highest economic impact for any event that takes place in Dallas on an annual basis. Our restaurants, our hotels, our hospitality community, and our museums and things to do, businesses understand what cheerleading is because they know that 60, 65,000 people that come in every end of February, beginning of March, depending on the year. Our volleyball championships that take place. We're about to host Vex Robotics World Championships that have thousands of kids. And while people may not necessarily think of it as a traditional sport, it's like the Super Bowl of robotics and the STEM education that goes along with it. And those will be the future kids running our businesses, our organization, our country at some point. So there's a lot of additional benefits that I think maybe we don't talk about it, or they're not always front and center from some of our youth and grassroots events.
No, absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned that too, because I've recently been talking to a lot of businesses in DFW, and they always tell me that they look forward to these, you know, local sporting events that we have, because that is where they gain a lot of their money and their revenue just from that week or that weekend that these events come. And so I'm glad that you're shedding light on that, because we don't typically think about that. We think of the big ones, the big picture ones, and the smaller ones. We're like, oh, okay, well, these are the ones that are impacting these businesses and they look forward to every year.
Well, exactly. And, you know, one of the goals for us is when we're evaluating business and sporting events to come here is, can we get them to be an annual event? Because if that's something that you can continue to build on, grow in terms of participation, spectators, grow in the number of days that an event may take place, you got to start somewhere to be able to grow that. So if we can host an event and get them here on an annual basis, we know that that incremental tax dollar and that economic impact and those jobs are going to be created and be there year after year after year. And then we look to, okay, we maintain a major event calendar as well, because we still want to be on that cycle and that rotation for the major events. And then you have the events there that are in the middle that, you know, they're going to go West Coast, East Coast, you know, maybe North, South, Midwest area. If those larger events, mainly predominantly on the youth or even collegiate side of things, if we can get them on a 4 to 5 year cycle and be one of their signature cities, that's a win-win, and really how we are able to create our calendar.
What do you say to the critics, because there always are, who shun spending a lot of money to put on these grand sporting events, big or small, where there isn't really any guarantee for profit in the region? If anything, we've seen an evidence of loss. So what do you say to those critics who that's kind of their mentality with big sporting events?
Well, I would say that, you know, we're very critical and do very significant analysis on the front side when we're bidding on these events in terms of what financially or what types of incentives is it going to take to secure that. And by no means are we wanting to exceed the amount that we're spending to get an event here that it's going to produce in terms of economic impact for the city and for the region. I do think that there are additional value points that it's hard to put a financial figure on. The media value, the global recognition. I mean, you can take the World Cup as a prime example of hosting 9 matches. Well, for the last 7 years, the city, you know, of Dallas, the DFW region, have been benefiting by even being on the list as a host city, being named a host city, being a contender for a finals, and then the eventual, you know, leader in the number of matches with 9 matches, but still getting global recognition. And I think now we're maybe viewed at a little bit differently. I think one of the other areas that we look at from when we're hosting events is, what other benefits outside of economic impact are there for our community? And being able to provide through sports, through events, an opportunity for young kids, underdeveloped areas, you know, lower socioeconomic status and availability. They don't even have a certain sport in their community, or a field or a court to be able to play, or a coach after school to be able to teach them, or just sheer access to the program. What types of benefits can we create through these sporting events that could possibly change the lives of many kids just by having that one opportunity that they wouldn't otherwise have if it weren't for some of the events, our local leagues and sports leaders here within the community.
It's getting the broader community involved in something that is a lot bigger here, and it's hard to get here, and making sure that we're all involved as much as we can.
This World Cup and many major sporting events are once in a generation, maybe sometimes once in a lifetime, you know, opportunity to be able to witness and share memories with grandparents, parents, brothers and sisters, and just the cultural experience that goes along with it. I think, you know, when I've been here 15 years now, and when I first came, I was here, we were just hosting a Super Bowl, then we rolled in our NBA All-Star game, then a Super Bowl, then a NCAA Men's Final Four. But all along that period, I would hear about this 1994 World Cup. Now, I didn't live here in 1994, and actually just barely graduated high school, I think, by 1994, probably in college. But I could hear these stories about what the World Cup in 94 meant to people, just for them to be able to participate in it, and how excited and thrilled they were for the opportunity for us to be able to host another one, whenever that would eventually come. So I think it's that you really can't put a value on either, because you can tell just by hearing them speak and remembering 30 plus years ago what you were doing in a World Cup. I think there's a lot of value in that. I feel the excitement here within the Dallas area whenever people are talking about World Cup, not just the 9 matches, but the other ancillary events that are going to be taking place, and just how excited for people to possibly experience a true match, but then be part of the planning process or be able to attend the fan festival and those types of things.
Now, I want to get more into your career. Mm-hmm. So in North Texas, there is no other role like yours. I feel like you're kind of it. So walk me through your career, and how did you become the mastermind behind all of this?
Well, my career started, I guess I'd say, at University of Texas, I guess. I was there in my senior year, and our head coach decided that, or was offered the position to go to USA Volleyball and coach the national team in Colorado Springs. And he asked me and an assistant coach to go with him. And I mean, I was senior year, hadn't graduated yet. You know, I was positive there were other people way more qualified than I was to assume this position. And so I did. I accepted the position, making $50 a week, left, lived at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, and lived in the dorms there, and ended up traveling, to so many different countries, but worked a lot of hours, and eventually moved up within the next few months, and was really able to finish my degree and then start my master's degree while I was there, and went to 2 Olympic Games, which, I mean, friends all over the world, and the experience to see those types of events was just amazing, and one that I'll cherish forever. And through my master's, I eventually moved back to Texas, worked for Austin Junior Volleyball, ran the largest youth volleyball tournaments that are actually my clients now here in Dallas. Ran those events, did some sponsorship, some facility work as well. Ended up at USA Taekwondo after that, running international events. Eventually National Senior Games, which was a phenomenal event, athletes 50 and above. And then back to USA Volleyball to run national programs. And then this position in Dallas opened up, and it was an opportunity for me to get back a little bit closer to home and family, but then also on the other side of the fence of what I had been doing for the last, I guess, 10, 15 years on the event side. So I was a rights holder. I was a client. So it was just kind of flipping the roles a little bit. And it's definitely grown from over the last 15 years. It's been amazing to see the growth overall Metroplex, one, but then in the sports market as well.
Absolutely. And that kind of leads into my next question, too, because I talk about this 15-year growth. I personally lived in Dallas my entire life. I've seen the ebbs and flows of this city. And we've seen several big sporting events in DFW, like you mentioned, the World Cup in 94. But it's become more frequent in the last 15 years. How did we go from hosting local events, maybe once in a blue moon, big events popping up here and there, but these local events such as, you know, the Red River rivalry, to now hosting these 9 matches in a couple of years. So how did we go from there to that? And what kind of developed over these 15 years?
Well, first off, I'll say very thankful that that Red River rivalry is staying here all the way through 2036 there at Cotton Bowl Stadium. That is just a simple part of the DNA of Dallas and our sports scene here. So very thankful for that. But, you know, I think you started to see some development there when AT&T Stadium was built. The ability to have a closed stadium, I think, did a lot for the major events being able to be hosted there, because you immediately saw a Super Bowl be awarded an NBA All-Star game, an NCAA Men's Final Four, which came with a NCAA Men's Regional out there. I think the other development of Globe Life Park, the Arlington Entertainment District out there, the continued evolution of the DART light rail system, I think all the pieces just kind of really started to come together. But definitely, I think it started with the development of AT&T Stadium.
And I remember when that development started building, because I was huge here. It was just absolutely, because I remember the old Cowboy Stadium right before you get to Dallas, and how it was just all kind of cement. And then that big new development that came, I think you're right. It just kind of shifted us.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember when I was with one of the other NGBs in a former role, and we were looking for, I forget the number of square footage, but I'm like, well, that's not enough, or they didn't have enough availability. And it could have been the convention center or one of the hotels. And I'm like, well, how about the stadium, you know, the old Texas Stadium? They're like, Monica, it doesn't have a roof. You know, there would be too much condensation or weather issues that kind of go along with certain sports that are traditionally played indoors. And I said, okay, fair enough. So the fact that, you know, you can transform AT&T Stadium into any type of sport, really, I think goes a long way. So it allows you to do additional, and Globe Life Field is the same way, from the old Bob Park to being able to really transform that to different configurations and for different events. I think you'll see some growth here take place with the new convention center downtown in Dallas. You know, after that is up and built, not only increase sporting event opportunities, but obviously the conferences and conventions that we might not have been able to host prior to.
Next, Monica Paul shares the countdown to the World Cup when Texas Business Minds continues.
At Texas Mutual, we work vigilantly to investigate and prevent workers' compensation insurance fraud, which has resulted in over $13.5 million in restitution and recoveries for Texas businesses since 2018. Learn how your business is better at texasmutual.com/fraud.
So we have 2 years until the 2026 FIFA World Cup comes to Arlington. Walk me through what happens during these 2 years on the planning side. What goes into it? When do you start scrambling?
Well, hopefully we're not going to scramble a lot. But, you know, I think we have a very established foundation where as it relates to hosting major events. And throughout the years, I think we've gotten better each time. But it's really laying that foundation that we're working on right now. So the match schedule is something that, you know, we had wished we had about a year ago, because it is very impactful in terms of your safety, security, your transportation route. You can have conceptual ideas in your head of here's how I think, you know, or here's how we think it's going to work best. But without really knowing that match schedule, you're just going around in circles and creating a lot of plans that you're going to have to redo later. So right now we are really trying to establish, okay, here's our transportation committee and maybe some subcommittees that go along with it, so that we can ensure that here's our transportation plan, but they're working with safety and security. We just finished up a all-day site visit with FIFA and really taking a look at not only the inside piece, because they've probably could walk the inside of the stadium now on their own and not have a chaperone or anyone to show them how to get around. But outside, what does the outside piece look like? What does the outer perimeter look like? What do we need from a safety, security, fire, medical standpoint? So we've got a sustainability committee that's starting to get kicked off and hone in on a few things there. A human rights committee that will reconnect here over the next month to work on the FIFA framework there and what do we want to accomplish? What types of legacies do we want to leave here behind, not just from a soccer standpoint and additional fields and programming, but how can we better our communities here? We're working a lot with an agency on how do we envision our fan festival, our official FIFA fan festival, as well as the other watch parties and fan activation areas that we may want throughout the region. Hotels, trying to identify who's in various hotels, what type of hospitality programming do we want to have within the downtown Fort Worth, Frisco, you know, Arlington framework. We just did a all-day site visit with airport planning because we're going to be welcoming a lot of international guests and visitors in, but then also utilizing a lot of the both airports, commuter airports, and FBOs for charter planes. So it's a lot of work, but I have to say that I think we have a really good foundation from what we've done before.
We are having relations with a lot of nations. They're coming here, you know, they're getting that Southern hospitality that we love to give. But what are you doing to prepare for international dignitaries to come stay here? Because I know that's probably a little bit different than the other normal guests.
Yeah, so that's something that we haven't started yet, but we will start a committee working with World Affairs Council, the different Convention and Visitors Bureau, the different chambers that are here, translation services even, because there's going to be different literature and whatnot that we need in different languages, different religious items that we need to take into consideration as we're planning for visitors as well. So while we haven't started that planning yet, I think we have a ways, I know we have a ways until we know which teams will actually be here, at least for the group stage. The draw doesn't take place until December 2025. The customer experience is very important to us, and I think really one of the ways that we set ourselves apart. So looking forward to starting to get that committee put together.
There's no place like Dallas-Fort Worth, so they're going to have a great time here, no matter what. So our sister publication, the Sports Business Journal, called DFW the best place for big sporting events. Why do you think so specifically?
Well, I think, yeah, we were very honored for the number one sports business city by Sports Business Journal last year. We're able to just actually celebrate it not too many months ago in January with a lot of our partners. I think it has a lot to do with one of our professional teams, not only, you know, the star power, their records and that sort of thing, but the business side of it, as well as what they do in giving back to the community. I think it has a lot to do with our corporate base here and the corporations that are wanting to move here to do business are indicative of why it's special to do business here from a sports standpoint as well. The location, the ease of doing business, affordability, which when corporations are moving, they also have to look at, can our employees afford to live in the cities that we're moving to? And I think they saw that as a yes. There's a lot of sports companies that call DFW area home, conferences, college football playoff. I think the level of events on the annual side, Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, prime example, one of the New Year's Six Bowls. You've got even the Byron Nelson and the history that goes along with that, the Red River Rivalry, other standalone events that I think speak for themselves. And then the fact that when we do host major events, we do them big. We usually set various records and we're trying to kind of go above and beyond. And I really think it goes back to the people who are involved in all of our organizations here and really take pride in trying to figure out win-win situations.
No, absolutely. And with you and your role, if you had a magic wand, is there anything you would change about our city to make us a better destination? You know, there's constant room for improvement. Is there anything that you would change to make us better? Is there anything that we're lacking in?
Oh my, I don't think I've thought about this.
You had a magic wand, Monica.
If I had a magic wand, I'd probably love to have an extended transportation system that hit all of the major stadiums and venues that we have, because I love our transportation system now, believe me. We utilize it a lot. It's going to be a big portion of our World Cup planning with both Trinity Metro and DART. But when I look at the other cities that host major events and the transportation systems that they have, usually they are inclusive of their main stadiums, ballparks, and that sort of thing. And we have just a small fraction I think, of our main competition venues that have that connectivity. So that's probably one that we always have to like tilt our head a little bit for and make sure we have some contingency plans. So that's where my magic wand would go.
That's where mine would go to. So I'm glad you said that. So you're continuing to lay a stake in DFW as a major entertainment region for sports. Where are we headed next? What work is there to do? Where are we going?
Well, you know, everyone says, oh my, you know, World Cup, how are you going to top that? And I'm like, well, you know, we still have to host events after 2026. So believe it or not, our plan, or at least our calendar, goes out at least to 2034, 2035 right now of, okay, what makes sense? We already have a NCAA men's Final Four for 2030, a women's Final Four notch for 31. You know, there's discussion about a FIFA Women's World Cup in 27, maybe 2031. We were identified as a candidate host city for the Rugby World Cup in 2031 and the Women's Rugby World Cup in 2033. We know we want another Super Bowl. Might not happen until after the new Convention Center is built, but I see the future being pretty ripe for the Dallas DFW area in 2030 and beyond, and even before that. So I think a lot of great opportunity yet to come.
And is there one sport or sporting event that you personally have your eyes on? Just be like, man, I really want that here. That's like, would be great.
I think there's a few. I don't know if I can say just one. I think it'd be very special to see another Super Bowl come back. One that maybe we haven't hosted before, a FIFA Women's World Cup. Just what you're seeing in the women's game and the women's sports and the growth that you're seeing there. I think it'd be really special to be a part of that. And I think that it could provide a lot of growth for women's sports here locally within the Dallas area. We haven't hosted a WNBA All-Star Weekend before. We've hosted an NBA one, but never a WNBA, with the Dallas Wings now calling the DFW area home. I think that one would be pretty special. And I need to learn a little bit more about rugby and cricket. I know they're right around the corner, but I need to head out to see it, take on a few events there, because I think there's some emergence in both of those sports that are taking place globally that Dallas could benefit from.
Thank you so much, Monica, for joining this episode of Texas Business Minds. You've been so amazing, and I'm so glad that you sat with me today to talk about what's next in DFW sports.
Thank you very much. I look forward to the next opportunity.
Thank you for downloading Texas Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas.